I'm going to start this morning with a little story about myself, and then we can play a game called Guess Sophia Sin. Yay! All right. So, story. All right, so a few years ago, I don't know if any of you remember this, but Scott Grant was like doing a preaching series on the Psalms. And he had a psalm writing workshop, and then like a few people read their psalms in church. So I like went to the workshop and I wrote a psalm, and I was like, I feel like this is pretty good. I think I'm gonna read it in church. So I like talked to Jake Dodson, and I was like, I feel like I want to read the psalm. And I was like thinking, it was like the day before, and I was like, So I kind of like this guy who's gonna be at church, and I feel like a lot of the reason that I'm reading the psalm is so that he thinks I'm cool and holy and nice. So what's the problem there? Any thoughts? What's the problem there for reading a psalm that's like about God in church because I want this guy to like me? Any thoughts? Do you think there's anything wrong with that? No problem? Anyone? I'll give you a piece of gum if you get it right. Mark. So what's a label for that?
What?
What's like one like sin thing? Word. One word. I'm looking for a one word answer. Prideful? Lust? It's probably part of it. Alright, so I feel like I heard someone say it. It's probably pride and a little bit of hypocrisy. So that's what I'm going to be talking about today, hypocrisy and whatnot, and kind of doing things so that men will see you, or women if you're a guy, I guess. So can I have a few volunteers to read the passage? We're reading Matthew 6, 5 through 18. That's pretty long, so I need three people. All right, Mark, you can read 5 through 8. Anyone else? Abby can read 9 through 13, and one more, Rolana! you can read 16 through 18. All right, Mark, go ahead.
And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. But I love to pray standing in the synagogue and on the
This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins.
Whenever you fast and not put on a gloomy face, for they neglect their appearance so that they will be noticed by men when they are fasting. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that when you're fasting, you will not be noticed by men. By your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you.
All right, so there's a lot of information, a lot of different things going on there. First of all, I want to kind of talk about the kind of hypocrisy Jesus is talking about in this passage. It's different than, I think, what we hear about a lot, the whole, like, James, faith by itself is not, if not accompanied by works, is dead. This isn't the kind of thing that Jesus is talking about. Jesus is talking a lot more about works without faith, I think, which is a lot harder to know if that's a problem. I mean, like, because pretty much anyone can be a hypocrite in that way. They can be doing all these good things and, like, being a great Christian, but if their heart is not in the right place, that means they're still a hypocrite. And I think that a lot of times people fool themselves into thinking they're doing things for the right reason, where they're really doing things because they're proud and they want to make themselves feel good and have glory brought to them. So that's kind of what Jesus is talking about. He's not talking about the whole say one thing, do another. It's more do one thing and think something completely different. I feel like in order for you to realize if you have that kind of issue, if you're a hypocrite and if you have pride in your hearts, you're really required to examine closely kind of your motives and your hearts when you're in front of people and you're practicing your faith in front of people. It doesn't really hurt people, other people around you. What it really hurts is you, and it hurts your relationship with God. Back to the whole your heart is what matters thing, because it really is, and this is what Jesus is talking about right now. Two kind of themes that I'll be focusing on today are love and pride. I think that pride and selfishness are kind of ultimately what's behind hypocrisy, and something that can combat that and help your motives be right is love, I think. When you're worshiping God, it's meant to be out of response to who he is and his faithfulness, out of love for him. So I think that love is definitely required if you don't want to be a hypocrite. So I'm going to start by talking about prayer, which is kind of what this passage talks about first. The verse says, "Hypocrites love to stand praying in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men, and they will receive their reward in full for doing that." Rolanda talked about this 2 weeks ago, how oftentimes when we do things in front of people that are particularly Christian-like, like praying long, very elaborate, nice prayers, oftentimes we get a lot of praise from people, and like oftentimes those people who can pray well and who can do whatever well are very popular and cool in youth groups. I think that was definitely an issue for me. I went to Christian school. Enough times the cool people were the ones whose faith in public was the strongest, and whose faith just seemed the best on the outside. And these people often lead others to God because they do have this very public kind of beautiful thing worked out that people are seeing. And oftentimes that's a good example to people. But I think if you have the wrong motives in doing that, and I think that if you are proud in the way that you talk to people and the way that you show your faith to others, but God doesn't want that, and you ultimately are not loving or glorifying God at all, which is kind of the reason behind prayer. I think I struggle with this a lot. The whole, I'm doing these good things in front of people, but I'm looking for praise from them, and I'm not ultimately looking to glorify God. And they're missing the point completely of praying. Because, praying, what is that supposed to do? Any thoughts? Why do you pray? Anyone? Does anyone pray? I hope. Melissa, what do you think? Yeah. I think that's pretty much hits it on the nose. I think that's the saying. It's a lot of what praying is to remind yourself of your position to God, like the way that you relate to him and how small you are and how great he is and how much in control he is. And I think that when you pray with the motive of bringing praise and glory to yourself, that's definitely not pleasing to God. It may be great for everyone else and it may bring other people closer to God, but it is creating this huge rift between you and God. So Jesus goes on to say, "When you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who does what is in secret will reward you." I feel like that's pretty straightforward. Jesus is saying, if you have this problem, if you're doing things in front of people that look good but are really meant to glorify you, then it's much better for you to not do anything in front of people, even if it's benefiting others. And you should go into your room, hide, close the door, close the windows, and just pray to God there and do devotions there and not be in front of others, because really what God cares about is where your heart is your relationship with him. The reward you get is definitely a lot less visible. People aren't going to be like, "Ooh, I heard you praying alone in your room. That was really cool," because clearly you're not going to tell anyone if that's what you're doing. Let's hope. But I think that when you do get praise from people for what you're doing, it doesn't last very long, right? You pray or you do whatever in front of people and they're like, hey, good job. And you're like, thanks. And you're like, oh, I hope I can get some more of that next week or whatever. It's not something that fills you up and makes you content. It's something that you always need more of. And I think that when God gives you reward, first of all, it lasts a lot longer. I think what you get from God is unconditional love. And that oftentimes is a lot less tangible because, God isn't a person who will come to you and talk to you. But he does give you love and he does love you. And I think that when you honor him with your hearts and you're really trying to seek after him and please him and not please yourself, he will be honoring to that. And some of the rewards that God does give, you have to wait a long time for. You have to wait till heaven to get things that you can put your hands on. But, I mean, if you think about it, you're going to be dead a lot longer than you're alive. So, I mean, that helps at all. Wait. this can be hard. I mean, because God oftentimes, when we are truly loving him and we are truly listening to what he wants us to do, God can call us to do some kind of ridiculous and counterintuitive things. Like giving away money, like talking to people who are looked down upon, like not spending time with your friends in order to do things for God. And that can be hard sometimes. And I think that it does take away from things that you would get if you don't truly love God and whatever. But I think that in the long run, it's definitely worth it. So love, I think, is a lot more possible with God when you are alone and when you don't have distractions and people who are around you to be like, ooh, cool person, but it's a lot harder sometimes. So I have an analogy to make this a little more tangible. So I don't really have much experience with this analogy, but I think that some of you do, and I mean, you see it a lot. So relationships, four good relationships. When you're in love, what I hear is that everything just seems a lot better and happy, and you're happy all the time, and a lot of times I don't think you care if the other person loves you or does anything for you in return, and you just want to love them and do things that you wouldn't normally do because you want to make them happy. And you don't necessarily need praise or encouragement from other people to be like, ooh, love that person, because you have it in your heart and you really want to just show them how much you love them. Oftentimes, I think we get opposition from other people if your friends don't like the person that you like or whatever, but there's just that emotion and that depth of love that you have for that person that motivates you to do things. So I think that is very similar to the way that relationships work with God. I think that when we experience receiving love from him and when we love God, I mean, God isn't going to be like, oh, I don't want to talk to you right now, like people that we like sometimes do. Like, God is always there for us, and he will always love you back. I feel like I've been learning a lot about this. I struggle a lot with wanting relationships and wanting guys to like me and whatever. And I've been disappointed quite a few times. I'm kind of learning more and more how much God's love is better than that, and how much God isn't going to be like, yeah, God is never going to turn you away from him, and he's always giving you more of his love. At the end of this passage, it kind of talks about fasting, which is basically to the same point that praying is, that when you fast, you don't want to be like, oh, I'm so hungry, I haven't eaten in so long, because, I mean, yeah, that's for the reason of getting praise from men. And fasting is really meant to remind you of your dependence on God. And if you're talking to other people, then you're admitting that you're dependent on them for praise and for your worth. It's important. It's important to do these things without telling people. Oftentimes it's hard because it's like, well, you are hungry. But yeah, I think it's honoring to God when you don't tell people and you realize this, that I can do this without asking people for help, without asking people for their praise. because I want to love God and I want to honor him. So I was thinking and I was trying to think of ways that I think I do this whole fasting, praying in public, because it's not always, I honestly don't really fast very often. But I think that ways that I do that, do things in public and look for praise now, and things that I did in high school were worship. I was on the worship team for a while, and just kind of worshiping in the audience. I feel like looking holy or like whatever, sounding good, and closing my eyes and raising my hands or whatever. I think that a lot of times I would do that because I was like, oh, I think that when people do that, it's cool, and like it shows other people that they're really close to God. And I wasn't doing it out of response to God. So I would challenge you guys to examine yourselves when you are worshiping either in front of other people or kind of just with other people. Why do you do the things that you do? And yeah, praying in front of other people, that happens a lot. So yeah, we talked about that. And then doing devotions, reading the Bible when other people are around. I feel like I've done that, and kind of going off by myself and praying or whatever, where the people can see me, I think is dangerous because, yeah, it is public, it is where people can see you. And you do have that distraction of, oh, what are those people thinking of me while I'm over here reading my Bible, instead of thinking, where's my heart and what is God thinking of me right now? Yeah, so those are a few examples. Yeah, and then I'm going to talk about the Lord's Prayer for a while. I think it's pretty important. So Jesus kind of introduces it by saying, "And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." So kind of back to the whole relationship, boyfriend-girlfriend analogy. If we're just talking all the time and telling the person the same thing over and over again and kind of just filling up words and not letting that person respond to us and love us, then there really is no relationship. It's kind of just us being like, blah, 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 I'm going to tell you all about my life and not let you tell me about yours or anything. And I think, like I said before, prayer is very much about attitude and about the way that you relate to God. It's about bringing yourself back into an attitude of dependence and love and repentance. So after Jesus says this, he gives us the Lord's Prayer. How many people have you heard the Lord's Prayer before? Probably most of you. Yeah, probably a lot of you have it memorized too. But I think it is really important, and it has a lot to say about the way that Jesus thinks that we should relate to God and the way that Jesus thinks that, just our attitude should be. So it starts out, "Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name." So something I noticed about this passage in Matthew, the whole thing, is that the only way that Jesus refers to God is Father. So what do you guys think that implies about how we should relate to God? If the only way that Jesus refers to God is Father, what does that say about our relationship with him?
Father, Son.
What's a father-son relationship like?
Caring?
Paternal,
yeah.
Caring and paternal? What else? How are we supposed to relate to our Father?
Respectfully?
Yeah, honestly, with love. It's a very intimate relationship where your Father is, ideally, I feel like a lot of fathers don't really do this, but they're supposed to know a lot about you. They're supposed to challenge you. And it's meant to be a relationship that has a lot of love. So, hold on. Yeah, I think this verse, the whole "Father, you are in heaven, hallowed be your name," really highlights how small we are in relation to God. Like, God's in heaven. We don't even know really where heaven is. We're here on earth. We're very small. There are a lot of us. And God does, God is hallowed, his name is holy, and we are very much contaminated by the things we do, the things we think, the things we say. And God is very good, and he is pure and holy. I think that when we're proud, we hate saying this, because it's like, well, you're saying basically, God, you're so much better than I am, and yeah, I respect you. But love, I think when you have an attitude of love toward God, you will delight in seeing how much greater he is and experiencing his love for you. The next part says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So yeah, what I'm going to do kind of with the whole Lord's Prayer is talk about an attitude of pride, an attitude of love, and how when you're proud, it's basically impossible to pray the Lord's Prayer and mean what you're saying. But when you have love for God, it's still kind of hard, but it's a lot easier. So yeah, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I think when you're proud, well, when I'm proud, my goal is to glorify myself. And I want people to respond to me with praise and with, yeah, whatever. So when you're proud, you're terrified of what God would do if he had control. I think I remember this moment in my junior year when I was thinking and I was praying and I was like, God, I want you to have control over my life. And I was like, oh shoot, what am I saying? I'm basically saying that God, you can take away any part of my life that you want. You can do all this stuff. And yeah, you can pretty much do whatever you want with my life. And that's kind of a scary thing. And when you're proud, I feel like you only really trust yourself and you don't trust God with what he's gonna do in your life. But I think that when you love God, your heart longs that it be one with the will of God. And God's will is that he will be glorified in my life and that people will be led to him because of my actions. And I think in love, there really is no fear of what God would do because you know that whatever you go through and whatever happens, God's will be done and he always will love you no matter what happens. And you can trust in that. The next part says, give us this day our daily bread. I feel like not most of us struggle with getting bread every day, but I think that bread in our life can often translate to love and comfort and relationships. And I think, yeah, grades, whatever, getting good grades, going to a good college. I think, yeah, when I'm proud, when you're proud, I think that we think we can provide for ourselves and we don't need God to give us anything because we can just do it ourselves. But yeah, when we love God, we realize that God is in control, and even though oftentimes he does things in different ways than we expect him to, he always does provide for us. All right, the next section I think is really important. It talks about forgiveness. It says, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. I think that often our attitudes toward forgiving others and towards grace are very indicative of if we are proud or if we love people. So I think when we're proud, we very little think that we're doing anything wrong. I think that whenever you're like, oh, I think I'm doing pretty well, I don't really have much sin in my life, I think that you can pretty much right away be like, oh, I'm probably proud right now. Yeah, and I think that even if we do wrong, I've definitely been like, oh, I can fix that myself. And it's hard to accept grace and forgiveness from God when we're proud because we think we can do things on our own. And this also makes forgiving other people pretty hard because if we're proud and we're like, all right, I've got things pretty much together, we kind of hold people to that same standard of you need to get your act together. And yeah, it's hard to forgive and it's hard to love people and it's really easy to hold grudges, I think. I think when we love people, on the other hand, we understand so much of how sinful we are because we've been forgiven by God and we've accepted that grace that he has to offer us. Yeah, when we're praying in love, we're responding to the wholeness of God and we can accept God's grace and forgiveness because we understand that it is a gift that he wants to give us. Yeah, and I think this also allows us to forgive other people much more easily because we understand how much we've sinned and that helps us to understand that other people mess up too. And if we've accepted grace, then it's a lot easier for us to extend grace to other people. Yeah, we can love and forgive people a lot more easily when we ourselves are being loved and forgiven. And it takes humility to do that. It takes humility to be like, well, I really did mess up and I can't really fix what I'm doing and my efforts are gonna fail and I need God to set that right. So I think that's hard, but it's important to have that experience of receiving love from God in order to be able to do it. Next part of the Lord's Prayer says, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Again, this is kind of repetitive, but when you're proud, don't think you really need any help. Think you can handle anything in life, even saving ourselves. I think in pride, it's easy to be like, all right, I messed up. I just need to read the Bible a little more. I need to pray a little more. And then I'll be good. Then I'll be saved and I'll be full of God's grace and forgiveness. But really kind of what you're doing is you're saying, God, I know I messed up, but I'm going to try and fix it by myself. And I'm not going to accept the grace and forgiveness that you're giving me. But yeah, on the other hand, again, love really does recognize that we need to depend on God for deliverance, not only from others, but also from ourselves. All right, and the last part of the prayer says, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So in pride, these like kingdom, power, glory, they're all ours, right? We're looking to set up our own kingdom of happiness, whether it be going to a good college, getting married, having kids, being happy. I don't know what else would be doing good at sports, playing music, being smart. We're setting up our own kingdom here, and we have our own agenda of what we're going to do, and that's what we're aiming for. And as far as power goes, we're relying on ourselves to get things done. And we think we can save ourselves, justify ourselves, get places by ourselves. And glory, I mean, that's pretty straightforward. When you're proud, you're looking for other people to glorify you. You're looking for self-glorification. In saying this, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. If you're proud, you can't say that because your whole goal in life is to do things your way. I think when we love God, we recognize and submit to the fact that God's kingdom is coming, whether we like it or not. By saying we're Christians and by praying to God, we're saying, God, I want to be a part of that. And God answers those prayers. And I think that if we're trying to do our own thing, then it makes things kind of hard for us because we're like, well, I want to be a part of your kingdom, but I'm going to do this stuff on my own over here. So that doesn't quite work out. So I feel like when you love God, you do have to submit to the fact that God is coming, his kingdom is going to be here. And also recognize that it's not by our power, but it really is by God's power that we're doing anything. And our lives must point to God's glory and not our own if we want any part of God, if we want to love God, if we want to be loved by him. That's in the Lord's Prayer. I think I'm going to kind of briefly talk about the whole seen and unseen thing that comes up a lot in this passage. God is in secret. He sees what's done in secret, and he will reward you. And hypocrites do things in front of men to be seen by men. I think, going back to this whole relationship analogy, only a very small part of relationships are public. And I think the real quality time that you spend with another person is alone, and you're sharing yourself and talking to other people. It's behind closed doors. It's not in front of people. You don't kind of stand up on stage and be like, all right, we're going to talk and figure out who we are and get to know each other better now while everyone's watching. It's not like that. It's kind of by yourself. I think that it's very much the same way with God. And although community is very important in forming who you are and forming your relationship with God, it really is important that you spend time alone with Jesus to get to know him and for him to be able to talk to you and kind of show you things about yourself. Let's think about a little while again about why we would even wait for a reward that we can't get right now. I think it is because the reward that God offers never runs out, and we never have to look for more, and we're never not satisfied. I think that does happen a lot, that feeling of, oh, I didn't do enough, and oh, people don't like me enough, and blah, 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 when we're proud and we're looking for things from other people. Because people, face it, people are always going to fail us, no matter who they are. In one little way or another, we hold them to such high expectations that we can't be fulfilled with just what people can give us. But God really does come through, and he isn't going to leave you hanging. you can begin to take pleasure in just the acts of praying and of fasting and of worshiping, and not take pleasure from what people, how people respond to you when you do that, which is a lot better. And yeah, love is good. I feel like we all in one way or another are looking for love from people. But we have to realize that ultimately God is the only one who can give us the love that we need. So yeah, this morning I was thinking a lot about this, and I was like, man, I really don't want to be proud, because I'm basically telling everyone else that pride is not good, and it isn't good in your relationship with God. So I was like praying yesterday, I was like, God, help me not to be proud tomorrow while I'm talking. And so I like started feeling really sick last night, and I was like really dizzy and like felt like I was going to throw up, and like, yeah, not good. I like woke up this morning, wasn't feeling too well either, and kind of, I feel like that was kind of an answer to prayer of like God being like, you don't want to be proud? All right, I'll show you that I can pretty much take you out in a moment, and I could let you even not give this talk if you're proud. So yeah, I mean, that's not to say that my motives are completely pure being up here, because they're definitely not, but just know that when you do pray to God and be like, God, I want to do things for you, and I don't want to be proud, and I want to love you, God will answer your prayers in one way or another. God made me sick. He may, yeah, not give you any praise from people. But yeah, I feel like God is bringing me lots of place where things I do for him are out of love and are not out of pride, or less out of pride. And he's showing me how much better that is, and how much, and how good a relationship with him can be, and how good he is. Yeah, so I just encourage you to really think about why you have a public relationship with God, and why you pray in front of other people, and why you worship in front of other people, and why you talk to other people about God. Is it so that God will be glorified, or is it so that you'll be glorified and that you'll feel good about yourself? I mean, if you aren't willing to kind of give that up, if you aren't willing to give up that praise and glory and like coolness that we often get from doing things in front of other people, then yeah, it's a lot harder to kind of receive that love from God. But I'm telling you now that it is good and that it's worth it. To close this morning, I want us all to read the Lord's Prayer together, and then I'm going to pray for us. So, and then I have a surprise for you. So, all right. Ready? Go. Our Father, heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, forever and ever. Amen. All right, we all have different versions, but that's okay. All right, I'm going to pray. Bow your heads, please. Dear Lord, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for every single person here who, just by being here, is kind of communicating that they want to know more about you. And I thank you for your faithfulness in responding to us. Lord, I pray that this week, and as we leave today, that you would make us aware of the ways that we are prideful, and the ways that we seek after praise from people instead of doing things because we love you. God, I pray that you would just show us the ways that we do that, and I pray that you would give us strength to do things that aren't public, and to pray by ourselves, and just to make that effort of getting to know you in private. God, I thank you for your love. I pray that you would give each and every person here a more full experience of your love for us, because it's hard to do anything for you without knowing that you will love us faithfully and unconditionally in return. So God, I just thank you so much for every person here. And I pray that you would bless them this week. And may I pray, amen.